Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing very well, thank
good.
You.
Good.
All set and ready to go to solve another problem in the world.
Another problem, another day.
Yeah. Well, we know that our president's trying to unify Korea.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. This hope, wish him success.
Yeah.
And keep our fingers crossed on that. There's a big hurdle there, because he always has to contend with neocons who hate peace. They're terrified that peace will break out, because what would the military-industrial complex do?
That's right.
But we want to talk about another place in Carter. There's a discussion going on with Americans and the Taliban.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting. And that would be significant, because they're talking about bringing all our troops home. And Trump had alluded to this a month ago. He says, I'm going to bring home 7,000 of the 14,000. And boy, there was a reaction to that. guess who didn't like that? You know, the neocons made a lot of noise. So, but now this is more serious. There's major talks. They're talking about it. And we're talking about bringing all our troops home, which I'll believe when I see it. But at least the discussion is going in the right direction. And they are also saying that the Taliban will guarantee, or at least the rule will be, they won't allow any training or even the Al-Qaeda and ISIS to come into Afghanistan. So that's sort of the trade-off that goes. But if you look at it and look at where we've been, 17 years, a lot of money, a lot of deaths, and we don't have a whole lot to show for. It's almost like they're looking for to save face a little bit and get out of there, declare victory and leave. But it's a lot of ifs in there. But we'd have to say the fact that they're talking, it's time that they decided to do that. I'm sure the Taliban is sick and tired of fighting. Maybe they're willing to concede something, and maybe our government is getting tired of it too. Trump has been less enthusiastic about Afghanistan than Obama.
Yeah.
Obama said that was the good war.
The good war, yeah.
He accelerated, put more troops there. But Trump, was playing games. He sent a couple troops in there too. This would be a big deal if they come around to agreeing with it. But it's interesting, though, that there's a third faction who's not attending, and that may be good, may be a problem too, and that is the official government, which is more or less controlled by us. They're not attending this as an official party. So I imagine if you take the power and the influence of the American government and the military, plus the Taliban, they probably are in charge of most, in a serious way, most of what's going on in Afghanistan. So yes, there are these talks going, and we encourage that. Hope some good comes of it, but I'm a little bit skeptical about what these neocons are going to do, because you can just hear it already that that's just going to open the door to all the Al Qaeda to come in. But if they think back when we weren't involved. There wasn't a problem in Afghanistan with Al-Qaeda and ISIS. That wasn't going on there. And the Taliban, from our viewpoint, they haven't been the aggressors. They don't march around the Middle East trying to kill Americans. They have been pretty much consistent in they like to be left alone, and seems so strange that's such a major desire. Just get out of our lives. Let us take care of ourselves. If we want to live a tribal life, why can't we?
Yeah.
So, I would say that if we had more to say about it, my suggestion would be just leave. They'll work it out. But of course, that's not going to happen. So let's hope this baby step will be helpful.
Yeah, the worst that could be said of the Taliban is that they looked the other way while Al-Qaeda was training on their territory. Probably not a smart thing to do, but we kind of looked the other way while the hijackers were training in Miami, in Florida. The Germans looked the other way while they were training in Berlin. So there you have that. But my eldest son has just gone off to college, and his entire life We've been at war with Afghanistan, this tiny country in the middle of Asia. It's just hard to fathom this. But the talks started on Monday in Qatar, as you pointed out. And on one side is the U.S., and on the other side is the Taliban. And it's significant that the Afghan government isn't there. Is it because they don't want to be there? Probably not. It's because the Taliban says, we refuse to negotiate with them. We consider them simply puppets of the U.S. So we want to cut out the middleman and talk directly with the U.S. And I think that's significant. And here are the stumbling points. The U.S., there are factions within the U.S. who do not want to take all the troops out. And I think you could count in those factions probably both houses of Congress, with a couple of important exceptions, and all the neocons and a lot of others. On the other side is the concern about ISIS and al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. So the Taliban want all of us out. They don't want any Americans. They don't want any foreigners occupying their territory. The Americans don't want ISIS and al-Qaeda to get a foothold. And so that really is the crux of these talks. And I'm not a negotiator, Dr. Paul, but it doesn't seem like that difficult of a thing to sort out, really.
And you know, if you were a pure pragmatist and say, well, how did our investment pay off? What did we invest? And what did we get for this? Well, I would say it was a bad deal, a bad decision, and it was multiple. And I've always argued that foreign policy is bipartisan. There's no serious discussions going on of intervention and non-intervention. But the cost has been unbelievable. We lost over 2,300 military personnel that were outrightly killed. But you know, the number that startled me was over 1,700 contractors were killed.
Wow.
And that means, you know, it's been a war that's been privatized. And when you look at the private money, the profiteers, war profiteers, that is horrendous. The money spent is really huge. And we can't figure out exactly for, you know, Afghanistan, because they mix it in. But it's into the trillions of dollars. You know, if you did everything in the last 10 years or so, it could be $6 trillion. But just for Iraq and Afghanistan, it's close to $3 trillion. It's a huge amount. Then they have to pay interest on that. And but there's another cost, of course, the wounded. 20,000 were wounded there. And you can just imagine, because you see them at times, you're on TV, the individuals who have lost legs and arms. I mean, just horrendous cost. There's a family cost to this. This type of thing of sending people over there time after time, is not good for family life. You know, it's been very destructive to family life.
Yeah.
And PTSD, that exists. The cost has been just been, unbelievable. And I don't think we have much to show for it. I think you have made the statement something about what part of Afghanistan we actually have control of.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think if you were going to summarize it in three phrases, we're spending more, we're bombing more, we're losing more. You know, and that's really it. You know, the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction is really one of the few government agencies I think you can actually clap for, because they've done a heck of a job. They've gone in there and they have objectively looked at everything we spent and everything we've gotten for. And, you know, Trump administration, probably Obama too, were furious at this office because they tell it like it is. And they have a new report out. They do a quarterly report on the reconstruction of Afghanistan. Their latest one came out on January 30th. It doesn't look that good, Dr. Paul. The U.S. government has spent $132 billion on stabilization of Iraq since 2002. But despite all that spent, only 50% of the districts in Afghanistan are under the control of our government there. 8 of those districts fell out of government control just since 2017. So we're absolutely losing. Afghan security forces are at their lowest level since 2015. 28,000 Afghan security forces have been killed. And we can go on and on, but it's, essentially it's a slow motion loss.
Mm-hmm. You know, after 9/11, it didn't take long, a month or so, by the time we got troops into Afghanistan, after the authority to use military force was passed. And it's it's amazing how many wars have been fought by the use of that. But, you know, if you look at this, it never even mentions Taliban or Afghanistan or anything. And I think, you know, you mentioned the fact that the war's been going on at the age of your son.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they say that if you do any type of polling for the people in the Taliban and ask them questions about, what do you think about this 9/11? They have no idea what 9/11 means. You know, all they're trying to do is survive, and all they know is they're foreigners in their country, and it's not like something is new. They may not look like they're very sophisticated, but I think the oral history must be pretty strong.
Yeah.
Because they have long memories about how Afghanistan has suffered from outsiders, and I don't think that trend is going to change. So, in a way, this may be a sign. We shouldn't make fun of it, but this may be a sign that we're capitulating or getting good sense. Maybe, hopefully, it will paint it off as coming to a more sensible position. But it just makes no sense for us to stay there forever, you know. And this really hope the troops come home.
And most people objectively looking at it would say we lost. But if Trump wants to declare victory and pull us out, that's fine. Let's do that. But, you know, the ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan is now the justification to remain, the main justification, the main sticking point for what Trump says he wants to do. But here's an interesting statistic from the Special Inspector General. The ISIS attacks have fallen over the past year by 75%. So there has been a decrease in ISIS attacks. They're not about to take over the country. And they are the enemies of the Taliban. It's sort of like in Syria. You know, Assad is the enemy of Al-Qaeda. So letting Assad take care of them while we pull out is not such a bad idea.
Well, that encouragement that there's less bombing and killing right now may give room for Trump to declare victory. You know, he tried that in Syria, but there was a lot of people complaining about that. Because, you know, there's one thing about why we're there and winning wars. It isn't about that, because we don't declare the war and we don't win the war. But the motivation is, resources and also money to be made. And that's what drives them. So we don't like war. We just like the threat of war, you know, and it does their job for them. But sometimes people die on it. And if this is just to have a threat of war and looking at natural resources and selling weapons, there's a lot of people who have suffered. And I don't think I mentioned the number, but of Afghan civilians and all.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they give it well over 100,000, but it could be twice that for yeah. all we know. That they're just non-people.
Yeah.
And the fact that we have some moral responsibility for what has happened there, it's pretty sad. And then when they do it in the name of American exceptionalism. What a tragedy.
It is. And speaking of civilians killed, the UN Assistance Mission to Afghanistan has just come out with their 2018 yearly report, looking back over the last year. And what they found, they talk about losing more, bombing more, civilians killed in Afghanistan conflict last year than at any time since the records were kept, an 11% increase over 2017. So a lot more civilians are getting killed, but the U.S. is conducting a lot more airstrikes. More airstrikes in 2018 than at any other time in the last decade. 7,362 bombs dropped on Afghanistan.
You know, just those numbers I mentioned earlier, and just glancing at it, it looks like about military deaths for Americans, 60% were our military, official military personnel, and 40% were, civilians. I don't think that I know civilians were involved and all, but I'm surprised it's so big. So you can imagine that most people don't even think about it and probably don't even care. You know, well, they're making money, they're going over there and they're taking a risk. But it has a significance because it's our policy, it's our money, and these are our enemies, and we have to deal with this. If we couldn't solve the problem after 17 years, what makes anybody think that all of a sudden we will have contributed something significantly if we just stay any longer? So let's hope they wake up, and I just believe that if we're serious, to claim that we're going to know exactly what to have all these conditions, and, you know, when they're trying to work for a peace treaty, it's not as likely to work, because I think when we're in under these circumstances that we got there by just going in. And I think the closer we can come to this point is we've had enough. Let's just get out of here. And, of course, some people sort of poke fun at that and say, well, we'll declare victory and leave. Well, I think we need to leave, obviously.
So I think that, you know, this is a good news story. We like doing good news stories. We don't get a lot of them, unfortunately. But it is a good news story. We're talking to the Taliban. The U.S. is talking to the Taliban. A lot of this progress happened after Mattis left. We have Acting Secretary of Defense Shanahan. Let's hope that he has a little bit more of a clear head in those things. But here's a message to the Afghan government. You know, you're going to get dropped like a hot potato if the U.S. and the Taliban make an agreement and we skedaddle out of there. And it's good news, and it's probably a fair warning for other governments, would-be governments who want to, and I think the Kurds have learned that lesson too, who want to partner up. Not a good idea. I want to, our numbers are going up, as Dr. Paul mentioned at the beginning of the show. People are subscribing and watching the show more. I would like to encourage you to hit that subscribe button there on the bottom. Please subscribe and get your friends and neighbors and pastors and enemies to subscribe as well, so we can grow the show and be really the antidote to fake news.
Very good. You know, in economics, there's a phrase used, the pretense of knowledge, which Hayek coined, and that is the socialists and planners and interventionists and all, they have this pretense that they know what to do and how to run an economy. But I think that same phrase can be used in foreign policy. The pretense that we know what's best for Afghanistan and all these countries, we don't know. We might be able to describe, they might come and say, hey, you know, you're doing such a good job, if we were, and you have a very, very peaceful nation and everybody is prosperous. What are the rules and what is the philosophy behind this? Yes, we can define that. We're trying to define that for our own government right now. But this idea that we can go in and into a complicated area, I can't think of any more complicated area historically and religious-wise into the Middle East and Afghanistan in particular, and us pretend that we can pretend to know, it's almost as bad as the Federal Reserve pretending they know what the interest rate should be. I mean, it's just ridiculous. People have no confidence in a free society and people making their own decisions. And that is what we miss most, and it is the lack of confidence that individuals who are given the responsibility to take care of themselves will do it. But when they are offered a free lunch and everything golden on a platter, then the temptation is to forget about what really brings about peace and prosperity. And that is the principles of liberty and non-intervention and non-aggression. Those are not complicated. We at one time in our history, and the founders understood this, to leave people alone and they'll take care of themselves. And I think that's what we should do around the world much more. Instead of us saying, well, they're going to have violence and the world will be a mess if we leave. Quite the opposite. I think if we were less involved around the world would be a better place to live. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.